Hey, stop! Little girl, stop! Look,
hey.
I need to borrow your hoverboard.
Now I've been looking forward to that moment. You see, when I watched Back to the Future 2, I took it effectively as a text, something that would reveal to me what my future would hold. I have news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Back to the Future 2, the future was 2015. This is just over a year away. I think it was November, wasn't it? November 15, 2015. Stuff better start hovering. And I'm delighted to tell you that some stuff is. There's a couple in California. They've poured their life savings into making the hoverboard a reality. And they've developed a prototype. They've got a prototype. It's working. Let's scale this thing. Let's get it out there. I want everyone on hoverboards within a year. Is this possible? Well, author and futurist Mark Pesce is here to tell me. Mark, are my dreams about to become reality?
I've been waiting for the Mr. Fusion ever since that first movie.
Oh, yes. Creates plutonium, you know. Doesn't it?
No. You throw some banana peels in it, and you get all the power you need.
Yeah, that's right. Because they needed plutonium for the flux capacitor,
yes,
or whatever.
For the flux capacitor.
That's right.
So the Hendo hoverboard is amazing for what it is, but it's not probably the hoverboard that you're looking for. This is another hoverboard.
Mark, thank you very much for your time. I can't continue with this comment.
I'm sorry. It will work, but it requires a non-ferromagnetic surface to work on. So that could be a large copper surface. If you could afford it, probably gold would work well.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a surface that the magnets can essentially reflect on, because it's very similar for listeners who may have taken, there's a train that runs between the airport and downtown in Shanghai that uses magnetic levitation. It goes very fast, like I think 400 k's an hour.
Because there's like no friction or something.
Because the train is literally floating and you're just moving it through the air. And the Hendo hoverboard uses more or less the same principle. I mean, it's amazing. I wonder how long you're going to get off of a charge, because that would use a fair bit of power. And I wonder how easy it will be to balance on it. But it is pretty neat.
Yeah, but so what you're saying, that even on this prototype, we'd have to build like hoverboard roads, effectively.
Yes, or a hoverboard skate park, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but that's not what we're after. I mean, we're after just the general mode of transportation that works everywhere except on water, unless you have power.
Well, everyone wants the jetpack.
Yeah.
Or the hoverboard. Yeah. And we always forget that the reason these things don't exist is because if you want to generate that much thrust that close to the pavement, you're probably going to put a lot of air everywhere else. It's like bringing a helicopter down to the ground.
Oh, so are you suggesting that the hoverboard, the whole hoverboard scene, was just a scientific impossibility because of the serenity with which it hovered?
Or all of those roads had been converted into hoverboard-compatible roads.
But if that was under cement, would that destroy it? Or can it be strong enough to work?
I think you could probably get away with the veneer of cement.
Ah, so this is the untold story of Back to the Future 2, is that there was only a veneer of cement.
A thin veneer of cement above civilization, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm holding out hope, Mark. I'm holding out hope that we can just establish this necessary flooring right across every city in Australia in time for all of this to happen. Well, while we're doing this, are there other things in other movies that either have come true that you've spotted that are fantastic and blow your mind, or that you would like to see come true?
Well, I think that the classic example, 2001 A Space Odyssey. There's a scene about halfway through the film where they're watching a broadcast of an interview live from the BBC on Earth. And they're watching it on what can only be described as a tablet.
Oh.
And when Apple and Samsung went to court a few years ago about who invented the tablet and who copied who, one of the folks brought in that scene from the film to show that, in fact, Apple hadn't invented the modern tablet. In fact, Stanley Kubrick had done it back in 1968.
I see. And is it really like that? Like,
it's
recognizably...
It's recognizably like the tablets we have today. It I don't think they really had the same idea of the touch surfaces that we do now.
No.
But in terms of its form factor and how video looks on it and the way they carried them around, yeah, they pretty much got it right.
Right, but no, but hang on, the swipe stuff, that was all Minority Report, wasn't it?
Exactly, and now there you've touched on another film, and I know so many people who are interested in user interface design who point at Minority Report as a holy grail. And when I talk to them, I say, yes, but you know, Tom Cruise was holding his hands up for long periods of time as he's swiping these things back and forth. And we've investigated interfaces like this. Your arms get tired after about a minute.
So that's the real problem.
It's very dramatic. It looks very good on screen. But in terms of how to use it, imagine if you had to type your keyboard with a keyboard that was hovering in air in front of you.
Yeah.
You would get very tired very quickly because there's no support for your arms.
Not to mention the hovering problem that we're recreating here.
Exactly. Although you could have a desktop that was hover compatible, presumably for the hovering keyboard.
Of course. I've got to actually, producer gave me an article with all these prophetic sci-fi inventions that like were in films and so on, and they've kind of become true. The full body scans predicted in Total Recall. Does that meet with your approval?
Depending on how you feel after you've had a millimeter wave scan, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yes, fair enough. That's not entirely what Wikipedia, arguably predicted by The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. What do you think?
Although Wikipedia does lack the attitude of The Hitchhiker's Guide.
That's true. But maybe that's just
it's more like the Encyclopedia
us.
Galactica that The Hitchhiker's Guide is always making fun of.
Yeah, right. Okay. Could we create Jurassic Park? Is that in the ballpark?
Well, I mean, people are having serious conversations about whether to bring the thylacine back to life right now and whether, A, that's ethical and whether it's possible. And so I think that, in fact, within probably the next 20 years, we will see the rebirth of at least one species. Maybe it'll be a woolly mammoth. Maybe it'll be a thylacine that has been recreated from existing DNA samples.
So how does this work? Do scientists just do this anyway and Hollywood is kind of just along the side doing its own thing and occasionally they coincide? Or does Hollywood create some seriously dangerous ideas and then evil scientists look at it and go, you know what, maybe we can do that?
Well, this is a really good example in Blade Runner. Blade Runner is considered a landmark film for a number of reasons, but one of which was because it got a particular look absolutely right. And if you take a look at the way that we use displays now, particularly in Sydney during the Vivid Festival, where every surface of every building now has something glowing on it, the first time you ever saw that in cinema was in Blade Runner. And so there's this idea that film can imagine a possibility, scientists will see these possibilities and go, wait a second, let's make that happen. I mean, the Star Trek communicator, you know, there was a period of time when our mobile phones looked almost exactly like those. In the race between the sort of bricks and the smartphones that we have today, there was this moment when they looked an awful lot like they came out of Star Trek.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It does worry me a little bit because I don't know if I trust like Hollywood to plant all these ideas in our scientists' mind. By the way, I do have a text saying the government does have a hoverboard and it's coal-powered. I don't know if that solves our problem. I think that might be a political comment. I'm not sure. Mark, it's always a joy to speak to you and pick your brain on those things. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
That's Mark Pesce, author and futurist. I'm still a bit excited about the hoverboard, although he's tempered it just a little bit, which is a bit of a shame. 0418 226 576 or Twitter @RNDrive. 29 past.